am so excited this week to be here because of the timing of the Lord. This is such a special weekend. We had a wonderful time, ladies, didn't we, yesterday at our ladies' brunch? I'm telling you, if you're a guy, you should be really jealous what the Lord poured into these women. It was so incredible. But I know that what he did yesterday, he's spilling it over into this entire weekend and this entire year that's ahead of us. And if you're wondering, what on earth am I talking about? Well, we follow the Gregorian calendar, which is January to December. And so, you know, like 2018 this year, yeah, next year, 2019. So, but with the Jews, they have two other calendars that they observe. And the first one is that they observe is whenever they were leaving Egypt, and that time of Passover began their first year. The second one that they observe is the one that we are celebrating this weekend, and it is dated from the time of Adam. So today until 6 p.m. is the last of 5778. And we're entering into 5779. Now, to us, those might just seem like numbers, but God is so intentional. He's intentional about colors, about numbers, about names. You know, we just name somebody because it's, oh, I like that name. But for God, it means something. When God shows up and he tells you his name, he's letting you know what he's about to do. When he introduces himself to you as Jehovah Jireh, you know what's coming. You know that it's provision that he's talking about. So he's very intentional. And that's the same thing with his numbers. Numbers mean something. And this year that we are leaving is a year where God was saying to us, I want you to understand your authority. I want you to understand that as my bride, there's a certain level of authority that you have here in the earth. I want you to embrace that. And he was teaching us through the story in the Old Testament of the Shunammite woman. She was a very influential woman, very powerful woman. Her and her husband were very well-to-do in their community. And they would notice that Elisha would come through there. And she told her husband and said, listen, how about we honor the man of God that whenever he passes through, he has somewhere to rest. And so this blessed Elisha so much. And he asked her, what is it that I can do for you? And she says, oh, you know, I'm good. I'm okay. I'm among my people. Everything's cool. And so his servant says to him and says, she doesn't have a child. And so he comes to her and says, I hear you don't have a child and the Lord is going to bless you with one. Now she is at this place of, look, no, I'm good. It's cool. Hey, look, I've prayed. I've fasted. It hasn't happened. I've made peace with it. I'm okay. Everybody ever been there? Where you've prayed for something for so long and it doesn't happen. And you're like, you know what? Hey, life still has to go on. I'm not going to cry about it. I'm going to continue being me. Amen. And this is the place where she had reached. And God said, no, I haven't forgotten. Can I tell you something this morning? God hasn't forgotten those things that you cried to him about, the things that you've been asking him for, the things that might seem so small or so big. God is a covenant-keeping God, and he remembers even the smallest request that you may have made when you were 8 years old. Hey, listen, guess what? I never had My Little Pony, okay? And when I came to the U.S., I was, what, 18 years old? I think I was 20 at the time. Guess what? I got My Little Pony. You see? And it's so small, but, you know, I love God in those moments because I'm like, God, you did it. One of them on my list is to go to Disney World, so I know he's listening. I'm saying in front of everybody so he can hear me. But God hears those things, from the smallest things to the biggest things. God is so concerned about you. If he's numbered, not just counted, but numbered the hairs on your head, however little or less they are, he's numbered them. When one falls out, he's like, yep, 676 just fell out. You know, he knows that kind of stuff. That's how he is so into you. And so for her, he says, no, I'm going to do this for you. And then here, a few years pass, and obviously the child has been born the next year, and a few years pass, and he gets sick and goes to his dad and says, my head hurts, and he says, go to your mom. By the way, guys, why do you do that? You're right by the medicine cabinet, and you're telling the kid to go to their mom. Like, come on, y'all, give them the ibuprofen. It's right there. So anyways, he sends her to her mom, and says, and he goes and he dies. Now, this is what she does. She takes the baby and the little boy and puts him on the bed of the prophet She closes the door, and then she goes to her husband and says, I need to go to the prophet. And this is what God was emphasizing this year. Notice what she did. She didn't start crying and telling everybody the child is dead. She didn't even tell her husband. Nobody knew until she got to Elisha. What was God saying? He says, listen to me, my children. This year, I need you to dry your tears and I need you to fight. I need you to fight for what belongs to you. I need you to fight for what I've promised you. And that is you saying that, no, God, I'm not going down without a fight. You tell the enemy in his face, I am not taking no for an answer. You are not going to take what belongs to me. Come on, that's having that aggression in your spirit saying, you're not going to have my children. You're not going to have my marriage. You're not going to have my business. You're not going to have what God has given me. This is a promise from God. And I will make sure with everything inside of me that this miracle lives. Amen. And so she closed the door so nobody could see this. Even when she went to her husband and she said to him that I need to go to the man of God, he's like, what's going on? You know, it's not the time to go see him. And what was her response? It is well. It is well is more than just a hymn that we sing when we have lost. It is well is a battle cry. Come on, it's you saying, I'm not going to stand here and watch things die and just say, oh, you know, c'est la vie, que sera, sera. I mean, it's just the way that it is. You're saying, no, this was from God. This was promised to me. And as long as there's breath inside of me, I'm not just going to sit here and take a back seat, let the enemy come in and have a field day and have me walk out. And we have here for a couple of hours time to still declare it is well. I don't know what has been taken away from you. What promises the enemy came in and snatched out of your hand, you need to declare it is well. Come on, somebody. And then also what she did was that she realized who is able to do what in my life. When you're in a place of authority, you have to understand who's in your inner circle, in your outer circle, and the people who are around you. I think sometimes why we get wounded is because we have given responsibilities to people that were never graced to handle them. Amen? Her husband could not bring back this baby. She was not going to put that responsibility on him. Her family could not bring him back. Her servants could not bring him back, but she went to the one who she knew could do it. Are you going to stand with me this year and have the tenacity to take to God what belongs to God? Come on. To take to the government what belongs to the government. To take to your spouse what belongs to your spouse. Let us give people and God what they're graced to do. Sometimes we walk away hurting because we've given people too much responsibility. What am I talking about? There are people in your lives that are just there to hang out. I was telling the ladies yesterday, they're just there to hang out with you. They're just there to go shopping with you. Some people are not your prayer partner. Don't put that burden on them. And then talk about, I came to you and poured my heart and you didn't even listen. Yeah, because they're just your shopping buddy. Come on. Fantasy football's coming up, right? They're just your fantasy football buddy. They're just your golfing buddy. Maybe you might find all of these great relationships in one person, but it's time where we start to realize, God, who is in my life and how are they able to help me? Her husband could not bring her child back to life, but he was able to take her, to give her the means to get to where she needed to go. Amen. So God is letting us know, stand in your place of authority. Stand in your place of authority where you, knowing that you hold the keys, are able to open doors and to close them. Come on. It's so last season when we talk about when God closes a door, praise him in the hallway. God says, don't praise me in the hallway. Look at the key in your hand. Open the door and praise me in there. Come on, somebody. Am I shifting some people's mindsets this morning? For so long, we didn't even know. We're waiting for God to open a door. And God says, I have given you the keys. What doors do you need open today? God says, I have given you the keys to open up those doors. They're in our hands. And we're going to be talking about one of those keys today, the keys of obedience, and how it is so important that whatever God tells us to do, we're doing it. Not half doing it, not kind of showing up, but we're all in there. When God says go left, we are going left. We're not, you know, trying to go to the right for a little bit and then come back. When God says something, we're on it. Amen. So this has been such a powerful year, and it's also a year of establishment. I'm just building the foundation of where we're going. So God has said it's a year of establishment, where you build deep roots, where you dig deep so that you can build up. God doesn't want to just promote you in different areas of your life. He wants you to be established. And when you are established, your children enjoy it, and your children's children and generations to come. There are many things that we're building in our life, be it from relationships to ministries to business to whatever. We're building something, and God says, I'm establishing you. So it's a year of great importance where we've had to be so careful with what we build, with what we plant. Be careful with your words. Your words have got power. What you speak over yourself, God has commanded the whole universe to listen, right? We are made in the image of God, which means that we are a small what? I am. God is the great I am, right? Whatever you put after I am is what you are. So in Deuteronomy 30 and 19, he said, I have commanded the heavens and the earth to record what you choose. If you choose life, they will bring life after you. If you choose death, they will bring death after you. So if you call yourself stupid and say, I am stupid, all the stupid in the universe will just line itself up and gladly follow you to where you are. Amen. So this is why we have to be careful. That's why he says, even when you are weak, say what? I am strong. It's Don Moen who said, let the rich say I'm poor. But really the Bible is the one that says, when you are weak, say I am strong. Because it aligns itself according. Strength comes to you. When you don't have, look in the spirit and say, God, what are you saying about my situation? I understand how I see it in the natural. But what is heaven saying about what I'm going through? What is heaven saying about who I am? Begin to declare those things. Begin to speak those things. Guess what happens? The world begins to align itself according to your words. That's why sometimes some of you have been wondering, why does that person keep on getting on my nerves? Because God is training your tongue to speak life. Amen. Come on. And until you pass the test, God will not remove them. You have to speak life. It is so natural for us to speak death, to choose death. Here, Adam and Eve, the tree of life was right there in the middle of the garden next to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Guess which one we chose? We could have been living for a long time, but guess which one they chose? The one that was going to bring death. So our nature easily moves towards speaking death, speaking less of ourselves, speaking negative. God says, I need you to sit in your seat of authority and begin to speak life. Amen. So this is this powerful year that we have just left. The other thing that he is doing is that he is releasing a new sound in the earth. I promise we're going somewhere with this. He's releasing a new sound in the earth. And when he's doing this, it is part of this revival move that is coming in the earth. The revival move of God, it's not just a one-time thing. This is, we're going to see the power of the Lord like never before. We're going to look like the book of Acts. We're going to be, in fact, it's already started healing and raising of the dead and miracles. Come on, where we are saying, God, you're using my hands to do the impossible. God has come to partner with us and said, yes, I could do it, but I want to use you. I want to use your mouth. I want to use your hands. I want to use your feet. I want to use your words to do the impossible. Who's with me in this hour saying, God, let that be me. God, use me to do this. And as he's moving with this, one of the anointings that's coming, it's called, I need to say this right, Salach. Okay, it's Hebrew. And it's a force, it's a power, it's a strength. And when it sits on you, you begin to see it manifesting in your life. This is the force that was in Joseph's hands whenever he said, you know what? God has got something bigger that he's doing with my life. And when he was in Potiphar's house, everything that he touched began to prosper. Come on, who wants that kind of life? Where everything that you set your hands to begins to prosper. This is what your God is doing for you in this hour, where he's coming in to be that wind beneath your wings and take you up high to soar than you have ever soared before. He's coming behind you, and it's a pushing force that thrusts you forward into different dimensions in him. Whatever Joseph touched, it prospered, so much so that even his boss, Potiphar, who did not know the Lord, said, the Lord's hand is on his life. God says, I want my hand to be seen in the earth, and I'm choosing my remnant, my people, and I'm going to do things in their lives where people will say, truly the Lord is your God, because where you are, things begin to change. Things begin to shift. Demons begin to flee. Where there were issues and problems, when a child of God shows up, there's going to be a significant difference, so much so that Jesus will be made famous in the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And so it's also the force that you saw on Samson, and we're going to talk about him too a little bit. And when the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord sat upon his life and he had such incredible strength, that strength is tesselaech. That's what I call it when I'm talking fast because I can't say tzlach. And when it sat on him, he had such a strength. I don't know for you who've been weak in your body. I don't know for those of you who've been sick in your body. Maybe those of you who've been saying, God, I've been running for so long. God, I've been asking for so long and sowing for so long. There's only so much that your physical body can take. And God says, this hour, my super is coming over your natural. And it's coming over tesselaech that will lift you up, that will cause you to push when you don't feel like pushing. Come on, somebody. It will strengthen you to fight when you don't feel like fighting, because sometimes you can walk with God for so long and get tired. Amen. You can walk with him and say, I don't have anything to show for what I've done. And so was the case with Naomi. But God says, I have not forgotten my people. I have heard your cry, and I want to push you further than you have ever been. This year that we're going into is a time of great victory and exponential harvest. I want you to write down great victory, and exponential harvest. The year 5779, year of great, great victory and exponential harvest. I love that word, exponential. The further you go, the faster your momentum becomes. The further you go, the faster you become. The further you go, further, faster. I'm speaking that over your life. You know what further, faster is? It means that it took others 50 years, it's going to take you 5 months. What took others 30 years, it's going to take you 3 days. Come on, further, faster, in such a short amount of time. I don't know what you're believing and asking God for. Well, the woman of God who's moving, Miss Peggy, she's an example, further, faster. 2 weeks to sell her house. Come on, somebody. That's the kind of favor that God is moving into, allowing into your lives, where you're moving into. God, I just did this, and they've told you. They might have their testimony where they say, well, this kind of cancer, we usually give you about 6 months. So we usually give you about whatever. But when you're in further, faster, honey, you're going to see your children's children live. Come on, somebody. You're going to testify the goodness of the Lord. I'm speaking that over your lives. I don't care what the testimony is out there, but for you, it's going to be different. Those of you listening online, it's going to be different. Why? Because we are moving in unusual favor of the Lord. I don't know about you, but I know I need it. There's some things that I have to accomplish, and I need unusual favor. Hallelujah. And so tesselaech comes, and it pushes you forward into different realms and different dimensions. And also, it set upon Gideon. And this is one of the things that God is doing in this hour. He says there's a new sound. There's a new sound. If you even notice, worship is different. It's not just about, let's stand up and sing a couple of pretty songs. God wants to hear the sound. He wants to hear the sound from your spirit. Sound is powerful. Everything that you see out there and even in here is a result of sound. When God said, let there be, there was. Sound is powerful. Do you know that the scientists have discovered that now the smallest particle of any object is not the neutrons and atoms, whatever the protons and you break. They said it's so much smaller than that. It's called a quark. And what is that? It's a frequency. It's a sound that's floating inside of something and says, you are a proton and you are this. And then it has almost like the DNA, but it's in a sound frequency. So if you have a headache and they could pick up the quark of an aspirin and in a laser shoot it to that very spot that hurts, because of that frequency, your headache will be gone. This is why when we speak, things are happening. The frequency. There is a sound. There's a sound, and the woman of God is going to blow the shofar. When Gideon, God was calling Gideon, he found him hiding in the wine press for the wheat. Some of you have been in small places trying to do big things. When you were harvesting wheat, you needed a large amount of space, but God found him hiding in the wine press. Some of you, like I was saying, you have big dreams and big purposes, but you have been confined to a small space. I've come to pull you out of that small space and say, go and operate in the big things that God has for you. And so God begins to talk to Gideon and says to him that I want you to be the man of valor that I've called you to be. And the first assignment that he gave him was to go and tear down the altars of Baal. And when he did that in the morning, the Abiezrites came out in anger. And they were saying, we're going to kill Gideon. Give us Gideon so we can kill him. And this is what the Lord did. His father stood up for him. But the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came up on Gideon. And we read that as it coming on. But really what it means is he put him on like a jacket. And then he took up his shofar and he blew it. And when he blew that sound, listen to me, those who were against him started to now work for him. We are going to release a sound this morning that's going to take all those things that are against us, whether it's sickness or issues and problematic people and assignments from the enemy. We're going to raise up a shout this morning after we hear the sound of the shofar and have those things come and be working for us. This is the power that we have. And so I asked Sister Peggy to do this for us, because even as we're shifting into a new year, they blew the shofar to symbolize that the season has changed. Do you feel this in your spirit? That something has changed? Do you feel what's happening in the atmosphere where this is not the same old, same old? We can't afford to do church the same way. God is moving in a different way. And if you're saying, well, I've never been to church and I'm shouting, welcome to Jesus. Hello. Next year, he's going to tell you to do something completely different. Welcome to Jesus. There's never a dull moment with God. One minute he says, come on, let's lay prostrate. Every minute he says, let's do this. This year he's saying, raise up a shout that will shake the very foundations of the earth and begin to make your walls fall down. There are many structures in our lives that have been erected. And God says, with the power of the new sound that is in your belly, that is in your spirit, I want you to let out a shout. So right now, as we welcome in our new year, woman of God, blow the sound of the Lord. Hallelujah. Michael. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, saints, why don't you just stand for a little bit? Why don't we just stand for a little bit? Woman of God, please continue blowing that. And we're going to let out a shout. Michael, I just wanted to play what's in your spirit. We're going to do things differently. I'm sorry that I don't flow the way that you're used to. I flow with the way of the Spirit. Amen. Is that all right? Come on, saints, begin to worship your God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Come on, saints, begin to worship. Begin to honor Him. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Shout with the shout of victory. Shout for your healing. Shout for your breakthrough. Come on, church, shout. One, two, three, shout. Thank you.
even as you were releasing the new sound, angels were being dispatched and going to fix things for you, going to turn things around for you. See, sometimes we're so used to seeing things one way, but God says, I'm a creative God, and I will do things in unconventional ways, and I will move on your behalf, even when you least expect it, especially in the small things. For I use the small things to confuse the big things, and the foolish things to confound the wise. I am God and God alone. Hallelujah. They're being turned around. Being turned around. He's ministering to your wayward child. He's ministering to those who are against you. Things are turning in your favor. In your favor. In this hour, where doors were closed, they have been opened. The hinges have been removed. Where you were told no, God has declared yes. In Jesus' name, there are those of you with doctor's appointments coming up. The doctors are going to say, I don't see it anymore. What happened to it? It was here. And they're going to call their other counterparts and say, take a look at this. I don't understand what is happening. But we know. We released a shout. And the force of God has changed things around in this hour. Hallelujah. Sissy, I want you to step into your new. I want you to step into the things that God has for you and say, God, here I am. Everything that you have been praying from, God, open up my ears. Your spirit will hear him like never before. You're going to start to see things in different dimensions. And today, in your new year, I pull you forward and say, mighty woman of God, go into your world ministry. You're going to change lives, honey. You're going to go to those who are in despair and snatch them out of the hands of the enemy. And everything that the enemy tried to do to you, you're going to cause a headache in his camp. And when you speak, not just when you sing, but when you speak, the demons are going to tremble. They're going to fall. They're going to see you coming and say, why are you here to torment us? In Jesus' name, go in the power of the Lord. I release you and I pull you forward in this hour. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Oh, God is so awesome. You may be seated, saints, if you can. Hallelujah. You'll be able to hear God like never before. You'll be able to decipher the word with such skill and knowledge that it's going to astound you. He's going to tell you mysteries. He's going to talk with you like a friend would and tell you secrets. Not just understanding his words, as his secrets. Things that he doesn't just tell everyone. Secrets, because your heart yearns. It's almost like your heart feels like, God, if you don't come and say something, my heart will explode because it can't survive on its own. It's like you're saying, I need your heart to guide the heartbeat of my heart. That's how much you crave him and long for him. And you're like, God, even sometimes you said, if God, if you don't come, then just take me, because I don't want to be here if I can't be with you. And he's going to walk with you and talk with you in ways that will sometimes even scare people. So don't be surprised if people shy away from you a little bit. It's just because they don't understand the magnitude of what God is saying. But also, he's going to give you such a clarity and such a simplicity, honey, that when you share it, people will say, I get it. I see it. I've never seen it like that. And I've been asking this question, and God is sending you as his solution in the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worldwide ministry. If you don't have your passport, get it. Start preparing. Hallelujah. Isn't God awesome? Isn't God awesome? My God, I just rebuke the spirit of infirmity. I can't stand it. I can't stand people being sick in their body and they've got things to do. I rebuke that spirit of infirmity. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh my God. This year 5779, God is sending his fivefold ministry, particularly his prophets and apostles, and he's telling them, go and see the snake that's in the grass and release my people from the hold of the serpent that's in the grass. He's sending them out. There are things that have been blocking you from going further into the things of God. And I'm here this morning to call those things a liar. I am here this morning to strip them of their right to move in your life. Oh my God. I don't know if you're taking notes, but write down Jeremiah 46 to 50. I'm going to go real quick here. And by name, call out the things that have been bothering you. That's real good, Michael. Keep going. I love music. Oh, I feel like the prophetic just flows. There's music in heaven, so please get used to it. Ha, 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 ha. Jeremiah 46, I was reading this on the plane a couple of weeks ago. I was going to Texas, and I'm reading this, and I'm going, God, why are you showing me this? Because normally you show me the word. It's real powerful. And I didn't understand it. As I quieted my spirit, I saw the Lord began to show me what each one of these things mean. First of all, it's the spirit of Egypt. This spirit or system has been put in place by principalities. Principalities are not these baby demons we deal with down here. These are the generals of the generals. It's almost like if there was a hierarchy, it would be Satan, his principalities. Then you got your princes of darkness and all that kind of stuff that flow underneath. These little ones here that we can just cast out. No, no, no. See, those ones we can do. These ones, you don't go after them by yourself. When you're coming against a principality, you have to go with somebody who's graced to do it. Or it's in a gathering. If you go after them by yourself, this is where you find you're sick. You have your lethargic. You're feeling all kinds of stuff. You don't play with these things. This is what Jude was talking about when he says, be careful when you're going after these things. You don't understand their authority. And if you just step on their stomping grounds like, I'm here. Be careful. He says, that's why the angel said, Satan, the Lord rebuke you. In Revelation 12 is a story. Jesus is talking about the woman who was giving birth to a son, and the dragon came to get her baby. The Bible doesn't say, and then God gave her a sword and she slashed the devil into 6 million pieces. It says, and he gave her wings to fly away from the dragon and into a wilderness for a set time so that he would not kill her and her child. There are laws that we don't even understand yet about what happens in the spiritual realm. And so that's why God says, be careful. And so with these principalities, he has graced certain ones to go after them. And these principalities have put in place systems. You know, when God showed me principalities, I was so afraid of these things. They are huge. They covered my entire peripheral vision. I don't know where they started and when they ended, but they were so distorted by sin, Dad, you couldn't tell what they were. One of them looked like a bird slash fish slash all kinds of boils on it because it's been so twisted by sin. It is sin itself. There was like three or four of them. And then I saw the light of God come and his hand, and they became as small as apples. And he said, this is how they are in my hand. So we have a God who rules above all of these things, and he wants to be our friend. Isn't that awesome? So this system that they have put in place is the spirit of Egypt. It's the one that keeps you in bondage. The one that every time you try to move forward, it feels like you're taking 10 steps backwards. You make a big jump forward, but something always blocks your progress. It's the spirit of Egypt. I loose you and your loved ones off of that spirit on your lives. The next one is Philistia. This is of the Philistines. They were a long time enemy of the children of Israel. These are familiar spirits. Grandma died of cancer. Mommy died of cancer. Now you have it. I cancel and break that off of your life at the very root. Whatever hereditary diseases that are in your family, I break them in Jesus' name. It will not be your portion. Things that people struggled with, you can trace back addictions and all kinds of situations and problems, and now you have them in your lifetime. I break that in Jesus' name. The system of Moab, which just governs, is the spirit of perversion. There's a right way to love, and so now the world is saying, no, let's do it this way, and homosexuality has come in, and all kinds of stuff, and just perversion. I loose that off of your lives in Jesus' name. Your children and their children's children. Perversion is any time that we do something that God has given us to do, and we go do it any way that we want, and we call it good. Moab and his brother Amnon, whose next, were birthed out of incest. Lot's daughters thought, well, you know what? It's the end of the world. Nobody else lives. So let's make our father drunk and have children from him. And that's exactly what happened. See, when stuff just becomes your world, you think that's where it is. Kind of like here, the way that we are, you know, in the U.S., whenever we say we're the world football champions, we're not playing anyone, but we're the world champions. Do you guys get that? Yeah. But I break that. I break that off of your life. The next one is the system of Ammon, unfruitfulness. You work hard at something. You put hours into it. And then there's no fruit. I break that off of your lives. Next is the system of Edom. Am I going too fast? No, I'm okay. Edom, E-D-O-M. The place where wisdom is denied. Kind of like what Esau did. He sold his birthright for food. I don't care how great ribs are. I'm not substituting them for what God has for me. But sometimes life finds us in desperate situations and we're constantly compromising. If you compromise once, you'll compromise always. I break that off of your lives. Those who are connected to you, your children and your children's children. That we won't compromise. That like Jesus, yes, I'm hungry in my body, but if I compromise now because it's hard, I'll compromise on the cross. May we never be known of our generation that we compromised. Let them say of us, they were so radical and so crazy for God that even when they didn't have, or even when their lives were in danger, they chose God first. They said, yet though they slay me, I still will. Let it be known of our generation that we, and generation I mean young and old alike, that it was said of us that they were like the Hebrew boys that declared and said, even though God, even he chooses not to save us today, it does not make him God any less. Throw us into the fire if you want to. He alone will decide if he wants to rescue us. Let that be our cry. Yet though they slay me, I refuse to compromise. I rebuke the spirit of Damascus off of our lives. Untimely death. Untimely death. Every time you set up to do something, it dies. It dies along the way, and yet it was supposed to have lived, just like the Shunammite woman's son. Supposed to have lived, but it dies. I rebuke untimely death off of your relationships, your children, your finances, your businesses, your ministries, in the name of Jesus Christ. What you set to do, even your careers, I speak life into them, and that the spirit of Damascus will not snatch those things away from you. Because what it's done for some is that, God, every time I start, I'm stopped. Every time I start, every time there's a flicker of hope, it's taken away from me. The Bible says hope deferred makes the heart sick. And there are people who are sitting in the pews. I know that was me. Not too long ago. I love God in all these areas, but in one area I'm so broken hearted. Because I said, God, I started and it stopped. I started and it stopped. And it's taken away from me. I rebuke that spirit off of our lives in Jesus' name. And I decree today that your hearts are healed. Your hearts are mended where they are broken. Where you felt, God, I believe that you love me in all of these areas, but not in this one. May you experience the love of God. When I was in Zambia, to let you know how serious this thing is. When I was in Zambia this summer, I noticed the first 1.5 weeks that I was there, 4 funerals. And I was not the only one. People, there's a mourning clothes that we put on. And so what would happen? God bless you, Veronica. That's my sister, everybody. Isn't she lovely? Putting her on the spot. But people move around. People move around with these clothes in their vehicle because they're expecting death. They're expecting to hear that somebody's about to die. And so one night I'm laying there and I see myself in a vision and I'm rebuking the spirit out of somebody. And I said, wait, hold on. What's your name? And he tells me his name. And the way that we do our funerals in Zambia, you sit around, the guys usually sit around a fire. They light a fire outside, huge fire. And the guys are outside and the women are inside mourning. Everybody's mourning, but the women are inside and the men are outside. And he says, my name is I Love Fire. And I asked him where he lived. And he told me. And as just as that finished, I'm hearing crying outside. Somebody had just died. And what's happening is that they're taking the gifts. What's happening? I'm telling you, the spirit, this thing is real. So we can't be nicey-nicey church. This is a war that's going on. If we came into Christendom just thinking, oh, this is so nice and we get to go to church and Jesus saved us and guys, it's so much bigger. These things come to, especially when young people die, take their giftings and they're giving them to celebrities that have sold their souls to the devil. And this is this thing telling you what they're doing, what their plan is. This is serious business. So we have to be about warfare. We have to be about understanding that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We've been mad at people for so long, but we need to start looking at God. What's the spirit behind what's going on? God, what's my mark in the earth when I see that these things are happening? God, show me how I can be an ambassador in the earth to turn things around. We have to now say, God, listen, we're an army of the Lord. When he calls himself Elohim, he's not just the Lord of angel armies. He's also the Lord of the armies of the people in the earth. That's why he's saying this is not the time to cry. I need you to put on your warrior garb and get to war. Amen. I rebuke untimely death off of your lives. I rebuke Kedar and Hazar. These are your resource killers. Anything that you use to create wealth, there he comes to take it away. Anytime that you want to work with people, there's confusion in the camp. I rebuke that system off of your lives. I rebuke the spirit of Elam. This is the spirit that, or the system that governs a type of godliness but has no power. It's that religious spirit. Where it's okay for us to just put our foot just a little bit in the river, a little bit at a time, but there's no power. We sound the part, we sound like the church, we sound like we have authority, but there really isn't. And God says, no, I'm breaking this system off of your life because the greatest institution in the earth is the church. And for so long, she's been neglected, she's been pushed to the back, And God says they are my solution. They are my weapon. They are my agents of change. People of God, you're going to be known as warriors. You're going to be known as agents of change. You're going to be known as battle axes. You're going to be known as missiles. You're going to be known as the people who operate in the healing power of God. People who speak the life of God. You are going to change the world. This is who you are. You're world changers. For God so loved the world that he sent his son. That whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That everlasting life, I keep telling my friends in the South, is not so that we have something to do on Sunday. Like we love football and sweet tea, so we just go to church. It's to be a weapon. Heaven's a weapon of mass destruction on the enemy's camp. Rise up in your authority in 5779. I've come to rebuke those snakes in the grass that have held you bound. Nothing is holding you bound anymore. Go after everything that God has for you. Get into the word like never before. Study God's word. Know his voice. Prophesy over yourselves. Prophesy over others. Begin to speak what he is saying. Not just what you think, but what is God saying? Begin to say, Lord, here I am. And the way he'll use Chrissy is not the same way he'll use Carol. The way, same way he'll use Mary Lee. He is so creative. He's gifted you. Move in that authority. Stop second guessing yourself. Stop thinking that your share doesn't count. Every bit counts. When you're in a symphony, an orchestra, the reason why they even have those that are blowing the little whistle or the whatever, the smallest instrument, it might not look like much if they're not there, but the person who knows how that music flows together, the music conductor, right? He knows, he can hear, where are my cellos? Where are my violins? Where are my drummers? Where am I this and where am I that? And this is what God is saying in the earth. I need your cello. I need your trombone. I need your piano. I need your drums. I need your whistle. Don't look at someone else and say, oh, well, I'm not gifted like Pastor Sam. God says, I know. I did that on purpose. You can't have too many of him. No, actually, we should, Dad. God wants your yes this year. He wants your fresh yes. And that's why he's come to remove every obstacle that was keeping you bound. There's no mountain he won't climb. No lie that he won't tear down. No shadow that he won't light up. Oh, I love that. Keep playing that. Coming after you. That's what he's doing. His reckless love. His reckless love has come to tear down every lie that said you are not good enough, or you're too busy, or you're too this, or you're too that. You know what God has come to say to you today? Give me your you. God, I'm a scientist. Yes, I want that. Give it to me. God, I'm a businessman. I know. Give that to me. God, I'm a mom. I know. Give that to me. That's what he's asking for in this hour. Is anyone giving him a fresh yes this morning? Stand up if that's you. Stand up in this hour and say, God, this is me. With my fresh yes, as I welcome 5779, it is my fresh yes. Take who I am, God. Take all of me, God. Take my down moments. Take my great moments. Take my failures. Take my successes. And mold me into who you want me to be. pray this blessing over you, that the Lord would use you greatly, that the strength of his tesselah would rest upon you, that even whenever you want to give up, that he would be the wind beneath your wings. I say over you, Lashana Tova, which is have a good year. But it's not just a happy new year, because happiness is conditional and happiness is seasonal, but goodness is everlasting. Goodness is eternal. Goodness is thorough. It's unconditional. So I say over to you, Lashana Tova, which is a good new year of the Lord. May the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he bless your coming and your going. May he bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your labor. May he bless you when you stand and when you sit. Well, may the Lord make you a lender to nations and not a borrower. May he remove from you the reproach. May he have the reproach of slavery in any form, whether it's mindset, physical, emotional, spiritual. Remove it off of your life in Jesus' name. May the Lord surround you and cause his watcher angels to watch over you and to speak in your favor. Unusual favor is your portion. In Jesus' name, wherever you go, you are a light. You will change lives. In the name of Jesus, you will change atmospheres. You have entered into a new, says the Lord, new beginnings. Oh, you will see great things. You will watch my hand do the impossible, even as the word came before. This washing of your lives, symbolized by the rain, washing of the old and bringing in the new is your life, says the Lord. The Lord says, I will use you to do impossible things. You may put your hands down. My blessings are really long. I'm sorry. I will use you to do the impossible things. I even see him coming to visit some of you in the midnight hour in your dreams and beginning to talk to you. Oh my God. Jordan and Michael, I'm seeing the Lord beginning to surprise you in ways you don't even begin to understand. What the Lord is going to do for you, he's going to take you by surprise. Don't fight him. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. I'm not saying this to alarm you. There's an unusual hunger coming over your lives that the Lord will come and fulfill with his presence in such a powerful and new way. Doris, I see the love of God. Miss Doris, I see the love of God flowing out of you. Out of you. It's just love that's just oozing and flowing, and those who are around you will get to experience the tangible love of God when they are around you. They're not going to understand. They'll start weeping because the tangible love will be felt around you. Healing power is in your hands, people of God. Sandy, healing power. When your hands will begin to feel hot, that's the Lord activating that in you. Dad, God will be to you a wind beneath your wings this season. He will begin to give you revelation upon revelation, but it's not just the excitement of the revelation. I see suddenly, so that as he reveals, it's so suddenly that you'll even be able to teach it because it's something you live by. It's not just the revelation. It has already manifested in your life. Mr. Curtis, I see the battle axe in your hand. As you're breaking things down, I see you breaking down trees, which is breaking down structures with what you're fighting as you're going to minister to these men and women that you're ministering to, especially the men. God will show you ahead of time, and you're going to start breaking down trees, systems that have them bound. So it will even be easier as you go in there to minister to them. Carol, I'm seeing unusual favor. Things are being put in place. Even before you go to places for your business, God is already setting in place. His angels have gone out and whispered and said things to you. For them, when you get there, it'll already be done. In fact, when you get there, they'll say, oh, we were actually just today in a meeting talking about, can somebody come and XYZ, and that'll be for you. Hold your, turn your ear to God. I'm seeing the pastoral over you. A pastor's heart over you. Train under your uncle. Let him teach you. Let him show you. Let him mold you. Go at his pace. He's going to mentor you. You're a man of God. He'll show you and direct you as the Lord speaks to him how to do this. But I see a pastor's heart who knows how to speak to the young people and knows how to direct them, but be mentored first. Hallelujah. Go into your new people of God. Men, I'm speaking into your lives for you to rise up as lions like never before. As much as God is raising up women in this hour, He's also positioning. And I see, I started to see that with you, a man of God, and all the men that are in here where you're standing. And I saw this robe being put on you, but it's a kingly robe. And I saw, like, you know how they would skin a lion and it's got its head and then the body. And I saw that being put on you. Stand as the lions that you are. Lead your homes and teach others how to do so. Not saying that you're not leading your homes, but where God is saying, I'm coming to stand with you, well, He already has. But what I'm saying is, God is putting He's letting you know He's proud of you. And now teach others how to do the same. Teach them how to lead. Teach the men how to lead, how to be strong in God. What does that look like to be strong? Not just strong. Teach them how to be strong in God. Because He doesn't want to raise your women and your daughters. The father, the men direct destiny. I saw this with my parents. My mother would nurture what was in me. My father would direct it. That's why the enemy is trying to make men look weaker and removing them out of the picture, because they're the ones that have direction. A father can tell you your gift works like this and for this purpose and for this assignment. Teach them how to be men. God has given you the authority. When I saw that being placed on each one of you, that robe of a lion. Stand tall as a lion. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's close in prayer.